Andy Barritz has been called the king of American satire, and here's why. He created the satirical news site, The Barwis Report, and he sings with a literary rock band, The Rock Bottom Remainders. His humorous writings appear in publications like The New Yorker and The Believer. He's got over 200,000 followers on Twitter, and his most recent book, The 50 Funniest American Writers, was a New York Times bestseller. But his latest essay takes on a rather unfunny subject, his near-death experience in 2008 involving emergency abdominal surgery. The essay, called An Unexpected Twist, was released as a Kindle single and became an instant bestseller, topping the Amazon charts the first day it was released. I'm very pleased to welcome Andy Barritz back to our show.
Thank you for having me, Leonard.
You don't look like you've had a near-death experience. Has the medical condition been totally resolved?
It has. It has been totally resolved. I can honestly say that I came about as close to dying as you can get. But now it seems almost like a dream. It seems like it happened to somebody else.
Did you see that light at the end of the tunnel?
You know, I did see a white light, but in my case, the white light, there was a medical reason for it, which is that my blood pressure was so low that I just started seeing everything went white. So that may actually, I hate to, be a buzzkill, but maybe that's what that white light is all about. There may actually be a physiological reason for it.
Is this your first work of autobiography?
It's the first work of autobiography. It's the most personal thing I've ever written, really the only personal thing I've ever
And you've waited 3 years to write it.
I wrote 3 years to write it. Well, you know, when you go through something like this, there was absolutely nothing funny about it at the time. I was thinking a lot of very dark sort of maudlin thoughts as I was going through it. But as I recovered, I started remembering all the things that happened and the things that the doctor did and said and the things that happened in the hospital. And when I started telling the story, I realized this is actually pretty funny for a story about dying. And I had actually performed a version of this live at the Moth, the storytelling group in New York, for the World Science Festival in 2009, because it was actually about the large intestine. So there was a scientific aspect.
So you did it just a year later.
I did it about a year later, and actually about just 6 months later. And they put it online, they put it on YouTube, and to my surprise, it went viral. So either there was something there that was resonating with people. So that made me think, well, maybe this is something worth writing about and expanding. And
so tell us what happened.
Well, to make a long story short.
Oh, we have time.
It was the fall of 2008, and I was getting ready to go to a party with my wife, and I had been having these kind of weird abdominal pains for the last couple of days, and I'm not really a complainer. I'm the opposite of a hypochondriac, because I just had never been sick in any serious way. And she called the nurse line of our health insurance, because I was between doctors at this point. By the way, very bad thing to do for any listeners out there. One thing I learned is that you always have to have a doctor.
Well, you're a freelancer, Do you have a medical plan?
Well, I do have a medical plan, because I'm a member of the Writers Guild of America. So it was really no excuse. I had a doctor, and I felt in my previous annual checkups, he had spent too much of our sessions talking about his child custody issues with me, and I thought it was very good for him, but I wasn't getting as much out of it. So
you should have been charging him by the 50-minute hour.
Well, exactly. I had to say, yeah, our time is up now. Afraid we have to stop now. So I was between doctors. She called the health line, described my symptoms to the nurse on the insurance health line, and the nurse said somewhat ominously, "He's got to get to an emergency room immediately." What's something you never really want to hear? And so we went to the emergency room. I had an X-ray done, a CAT scan. They kept on, I really felt like I was sort of in an episode of House. It seemed very mysterious what was wrong with me. And finally, a doctor came into the examining room, and he introduced himself as a surgical fellow. And that's something you really, that's the last fellow that you want to meet, because you know that that means you're about to be cut open. Uh-huh. And he said, your large intestine, or, you know, your colon, which I, at this point I didn't even know that a colon was the large intestine. They're the same thing. He said, it is twisted. It's like it's in a knot, and this is a very... It's an unusual condition called a sigmoid volvulus. You can look it up.
And now, is this something that you're born with, or is this something that develops because you've been playing a lot of tennis?
Well, I was wondering if it was some lifestyle issue that it somehow causes. It actually it happens more to people who are my physical build. I'm very tall and sort of stringy. And that means my organs tend to be, too. I don't want to, you know, get too graphic here. But generally speaking, people who are built like me can have sort of longer, kind of stringy organs inside them. And those are more likely to sort of move around. And in the case of the large intestine, it can twist. And that's exactly what happened. And they said, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to untwist you manually. Another thing you're not really thrilled about hearing. And
that's because an operation is rather dangerous.
Well, an operation in that area, any kind of abdominal surgery, an emergency operation can kill you because of sepsis, because you can go into shock, the infection. So that's that was absolutely the last option first night.
And they told your wife that you had a 50-50 chance of surviving, but they didn't tell you.
Right.
You had to find out another ways.
Well, what happened was the first night we were kind of cool because they used this, they basically gave me sort of a colonoscopy. They used that tool to straighten me out sort of the hand-done artisanal way, and I was fine. But then they said, we're going to take a couple of days to flush out your system, and then we're going to do surgery. We're going to remove the part of the colon that was twisted, sew you back up, and you're going to be fine. And so for about the first week of this adventure, everything seemed like it was going to be cool. The only problem was it turned out that when they sewed me back up, they did not completely connect the two pieces of colon to each other. So there was like a little gap there.
Just a mistake?
Just a mistake. Well, you know what? We'll never know exactly what went wrong. Somebody did not do a good enough darning job inside of me. There was a little bit of a hole, and that resulted in my entire body going onto the verge of what we call organ failure. I was at organ failure. My whole body was shutting down. And that's what led to emergency surgery. And they told my wife that I had a 50% shot. And there was a moment there, because I'd been rushed back to the hospital to have emergency surgery, which is the thing that, as I said, can kill you. And it didn't look good. And my wife went out and talked to one of the residents. And the resident told her that thing about I had a 50% shot of living. Also, conversely, of dying. And my wife came back into the room, and there were tears in her eyes. And I said, did you get some bad news? And she said, I just love you so much. And I just thought at that point, I am screwed. I mean, this is the worst. That's the, you know, just bring in the rabbi at that point, because that was the worst thing you want to hear.
Obviously, psychic pain. What about physical pain?
Terrible. Avoid abdominal surgery. It's all really bad. You know, if they, and you can hear this from other people who've had it, you know, to get in there and do this stuff, they have to cut your muscles apart and then stitch them up. It's just it makes you think, actually, Leonard. You hear about all the people, especially in a city like New York or Los Angeles, who do elective surgery, like who get plastic surgery and all that. And I just want to say to everybody, I don't care how bad you look, stay out of the OR. It's not worth it. Things can go haywire when they start cutting into you.
My guest is Andy Burowitz. He has written an essay that was released as a Kindle single and became topped the Amazon charts the first day it was released. It's called An Unexpected Twist. We'll continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with Andy Burowitz. In the past, when he's visited us, when he hasn't filled in for me, in fact, we have talked about some of the things that he has written in his Burowitz Report, which deals with the news events of the day, every day?
More or less every day, although every day really on Twitter now. That's sort of my news feed is Borowitz Report at Borowitz Report on Twitter.
There's also the 50 Funniest American Writers, which was a New York Times bestseller. And now we're talking about something a bit more serious. Of course, Andy Borowitz is writing it, it's always funny, and it's an unexpected twist, which was released as a Kindle single and has become a bestseller. We have a call, Andy, from somebody who's had a similar experience. Julie?
Hi.
Hi, Julie.
Hi. Hi, Andy. I had the same thing happen to me 10 years ago. My doctor said it was very rare, usually just big dogs and horses, but not for like a 40-year-old woman. And they thought it was my appendix, so they took out my appendix, and then I went, and I know that I don't have to describe to you that the pain, you know, when your intestine twists is just, it's indescribable.
Yeah.
It's like both my childbirth, my labors all lasered into one area of your abdomen. But when I went back in, I had the same surgeon in the ER, and he just couldn't figure out what was wrong, and it was frightening. It was the most frightening thing. It was a month in the hospital and in and out of the ER 5 times.
Now, Andy talked about them messing up a bit and not sewing them up completely. Do you think that there are more problems because this is so rare medically? Doctors aren't used to having to deal with it?
What do you think, Julie? Well, you know, I came away with sort of a global response to the experience, which is that, you know, now Julie and I had this very rare thing, the sigmoid volvulus. Although what's really funny, and Julie will appreciate this, I've gotten a few people complaining on the internet, and the internet is such a great, chat room for cranks of every stripe. But a few people have said, oh, come on, sigmoid volvulus, it's not that freakish. And I thought, oh, I guess I'm just a big complainer about this whole dying thing. But I came away with this global impression that surgery itself, even with all the advances and laparoscopic surgery and all that they know now, it's still very primitive. I mean, they are cutting open a living organism, and they're using a needle and thread to sew us up.
Yeah.
Now, that it seems to me that it's still somewhere in a in an era back with the leeches. Can we get some people? There are a lot of smart doctors in New York and research scientists in New York listening to Leonard right now. Can we get some people working on something better than needle and thread in the 21st century? I would really be into that.
Now, you lost your appendix. You miss it? You didn't need to lose it, right? They just took it out because they got it wrong?
Well, they took it out, I think, because they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And I guess when you have appendicitis, it can present itself in so many mysterious ways. So they just assumed. I remember coming out of surgery, and the surgeon's like, yeah, you had a hot appendix. And I thought, what the hell is a hot appendix? But I'm glad it's gone. But for me, the weirdest thing about the hospital stay and for being in that kind of pain also is that they have that little sign, you know, they have it all over the ER that says, are you in pain? And they have a smiley face for one and a, you know, like a frown for 10. And the whole time I was there, I was on so many pain meds because they're giving you morphine that I thought it said, are you a pain? You know, that I had come in and I was really bothering them.
Well, that's really none of their business, I don't think. But, you know, Julie, I touch on this in an unexpected twist, which is that I had 2 visits to the ER. The first time when I was in your condition, when I was in this incredible abject pain. But being from the Midwest, being from Ohio, we're told really not to exaggerate and to complain. We're supposed to be very reserved and polite. So they said, rate your pain on a scale from 1 to 10. And I said 6. And that was a big mistake because they put me back in the queue behind everybody who wisely said 7 through 10.
Yeah.
So the next time when I went in, when I was seeing the white light and I was at organ failure and at death's door, they said, how do you rate your pain? And I was like, 10. You know, it's like I had no hesitation at all. And if people listening to this take away nothing more than this piece of wisdom, when you go to the ER, always say 10. I don't care what's going on. Always say 10 because you're going to just be put in the back of the queue if you say anything lower than 10.
Thank you for calling us.
My pleasure. Glad you made it out on the right side.
You too, Julie.
Thank you. Bye.
Another listener, Bert from Manhattan, said he had the same experience and they use staples.
Oh, come on.
That's what he wrote.
Staples.
Actually,
I guess there are staples now that they use.
In your piece, one of your doctors speaks as though he's doing Twitters.
He does. You know, this guy. You know, I've got to say, people say, "Aren't you mad at the guy, at your surgeon? All you had all these problems." And I actually am not. I mean, I don't. I think there's an awful lot of fallibility in this process, and I have no idea what he did or didn't do. But he was this very. Very nice Chinese gentleman. He spoke beautiful English, but he chose to speak it in this very clipped way. I sort of describe it as, you know, Confucius on Twitter. Everything was like four characters, and he was out. And as I thought about this, you know, this is not really that unusual for surgeons, because if you think about who they are communicating with, it's either people who are unconscious, like us. They don't have to talk to us at all. Or their surgical team, and they're saying things like scalpel. Mm-hmm. You know, so they don't really need to form complete sentences. But it was the longest sentence he said to me, which was after the last, as I was about to go under for the third and final surgery, he said to me, looked me in the eye, and he said, "Look, I know you've had a lot of complications with the first two surgeries, so I'm going to be extra careful this time." And he honestly, that
must have been reassuring.
Word for yeah, no more texting in the OR, you know, no more checking my Twitter feed. We're just going to really focus.
Now, Andy, I want to talk about politics for a moment, because I have been finding the current situation rather painful. You've called the Republican candidates a sitcom with no main characters and just a string of wacky neighbors one after another. Do you wish that a few who've dropped out had remained? They, Michelle Bachmann, Rick Perry, Tim Pawlenty, Herman Cain, were they giving
all.
You good material?
I miss them all dearly. Well, you know, I mean this when I say it. I think that this Republican race has come dangerously close to qualifying as a prank. I mean, it really, we've had crazy races before. But, you know, if you look at previous debates, for example, like in 2008, we always had that wacky neighbor element, like the late lamented Dennis Kucinich, for example. The real race was between Hillary and Obama, but they would every now and then they'd cut to Kucinich and he would say, "I think we should get rid of the Defense Department and have the Department of Flowers," you know, and then they would cut back to Hillary and Obama. But in these debates, everybody is coming off like, you know, Lenny and Squiggy on Laverne and Shirley. They're all saying ludicrous, you know, Mitt Romney is saying we should all be self-deporting, whatever that means. And I do miss, I've got to say, I think I miss Rick Perry of all of them, simply because the standards he set for himself were so incredibly low. I've never seen anybody who appeared to have amounted to be like a drunk blackout during a presidential debate and then said, "Oops, it was an amazing moment."
Now, Andy, you joked that you're going to write a book of life lessons called Tuesdays with My Colon.
Yes.
Would you want to do it for the Kindle?
You know what? I think the beautiful thing about the Kindle single format, and I just noticed that Margaret Atwood just wrote a Kindle single, so this is really catching on. You can write a story for just as long as it has to be. You know, if this were a book, a publisher would have said, he would have said, "Do Tuesdays with your colon. Do the story about your colon, but then also do stuff about your childhood and throw in things about being in Hollywood and all this stuff." And it would then wind up being a bloated sort of bad memoir. What's great about the Kindle single, and I also found you don't even need to have a Kindle to read it. You can download the free Kindle app. You can write a story that's just as long as it has to be. This is a very short story, and you only charge 99 cents to read it. It's like iTunes for reading. I mean, I think a lot of writers are going to get into it, and I think readers have already discovered it.
And it's available now.
It's available now. It's on Amazon.
At your local computer.
At your local computer. And again, like, you don't need a Kindle. You can just download the free app.
We have a link to it, by the way, on our website. Excellent. At WMOC.org. I don't know if we're charging 99 cents or not. Thank you, Andy Borowitz, for being on our show again.
Thanks, Leonard.